Hello there! My name is Bartholomew J. Fancy Cat, but humans have taken to calling me Sprinkles. I am a feline of discerning taste and luxury, and I demand the very best, and I want it delivered to my door. Meowbox is a subscription service that caters to felines like myself and gives us all sorts of new treats to try, toys that entertain, and it even helps fellow animals in rescue shelters. They even personalize it for your cat's name. They still insist on calling me Sprinkles, however. What are you waiting for, human? Promo code GEEK10 and get 10% off your first subscription at meowbox.com. Now go visit meowbox.com for more information and tell them Sprinkles sent you. Hey guys, what's going on? You're listening to This Week in Geeks Nerd News Network. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd. Today is Saturday, May 30th, 2015. I didn't have a voice yesterday, which is why we're coming to you a little bit late. But that's okay. As you heard in the beginning, we's got a new sponsor. And that makes my kitties very happy. And you shall now know the legend of Sprinkles, such as it is. Got a lot of cool stuff today. Got an interview with the guys over at Gamebox Monthly. Hopefully we'll be working more with them in the future to talk to you more about board games. Because, you know what, over the last couple of years, I've really kind of got into them. Now, I don't have a whole lot of them left because I actually traded a bunch of them to my friend Chris. But I've still got my Metal Gear Risk. I got my Last Night on Earth. I've just got the Pathfinder deck building game, which is pretty kick-ass. And, I gotta say, I'm pretty excited to kind of get into things. Actually, my friends Sean and Kevin brought over a game a couple of months ago. It was something called Boss Monster. Really enjoyed that. So, yeah, we got a lot to talk about today. And I'm actually kind of glad I waited to do this on Saturday. Simply because a lot of news has broken in the last 48 hours regarding a couple of different movies, and now I can talk about that. Plus, I can give you sort of my thoughts on Kung Fury, which released earlier this week, which I highly recommend you find 30-something minutes in your life and you go watch it. I'm going to link it in the episode below here. And you need to go check out the music video by David Hasselhoff. I have listened to that almost nonstop for like the past like week and a half. So thanks, Scotty, for that one. Also, coming up tomorrow, me, Roebuck, and potentially a special guest are going to be talking about home media, stuff like streaming, but also VHS, Betamax, DVD, Blu-ray, what's kind of coming up now sort of thing. I mean, did you ever have to sell your car to get a VCR? Well, I know someone who did. So that's what we're going to talk about on this month's topic show. Then next month, I've got a pretty good idea, and I think it'll be a fairly simple but a really fun one. So let's get started with the big elephant in the room. Tron 3 has been canceled. That's right, deleted right off the grid. Disney has pulled the plug on it. Now, this was supposed to begin filming in Vancouver later on this fall. And it sucks because Garrett Hedlund and Olivia Wilde had talked about it recently. And they were like, all right, we're getting excited. Nothing's officially confirmed yet. But, you know, it'd be cool to revisit this world, see where the characters of these people go, see what happens to Quora when she gets into the real world. I'd like to know what actually happened to Tron himself, or Rinsler, whatever they called him. Although, the real tragedy with all this is that we don't get a Daft Punk soundtrack, because that's probably one of the best soundtracks I think I've probably heard in the last 10 years. All things considered, I mean, those guys did a masterful job of the Tron Legacy soundtrack. In fact, if you haven't bought it, I really recommend you go check it out. It's wonderful music to just listen to write by, or to do some sexy loving by. Just saying. So evidently Disney's throwing a lot of their stuff on live action adaptations of classic animated stuff like Beauty and the Beast. And it kind of sucks that Tron 3 just didn't kind of make the cut with that. I mean, I don't know, man. I'm trying to think of what other movie might actually be somewhat decent if they were to turn it live action. Actually, you know what? The Little Mermaid might actually not be half bad if you turn that real life. I don't know. It's just kind of a thought. Now I'm inevitably waiting for the gritty reboot of The Mighty Ducks. I think that'd be friggin' hilarious. You know, pull Emilio Estevez out of retirement or whatever the hell he's doing. And just make it dark as fuck. I think that'd be hilarious. So instead of this rough and tumble, like, ha-ha kids squad, they're like a bunch of goons. I don't know. Maybe get Liev Schreiber from Goon to reprise his character from that or something. I don't know. I think that'd be pretty funny. So, rest in peace, Tron. I'm glad at least we got a kick-ass soundtrack, two awesome movies, and Jeff Bridges not as the dude. So, I don't know. That kind of sucks. I'm not happy about that. I'm truthfully really not. Another piece of interesting news, and I never would have pictured this, but according to Superhero Hype and several other sources like the Daily Mail and Photos on Set, fella himself, WWE's Sheamus, is going to be Rocksteady in the new Ninja Turtles movie. Yeah, they've posted pictures on, like, Twitter with, like, some of the other stars, like Brian T., who plays the new Shredder, Gary Anthony Williams, who plays Bebop, who's, like, you know, the punky warthog guy. You know what? I'm kind of okay with this. I mean, all things considered, they've got Karai in this as well. So I'm really interested to see how this is going to shape up. I think it's going to be significantly better than the first one. And admittedly, yeah, that's not saying a whole shit ton. But, you know, the first movie, the first Ninja Turtles movie that came out last year, you have to look at it as the second best Ninja Turtles movie we've gotten so far. Allow me to explain. The first one from 1990 was, in a lot of ways, perfect. In some ways, kind of boring. But it was a good comic book movie. It wasn't a superhero movie. There's a difference. Last year, when we got the Ninja Turtles movie, it's what was needed to start a franchise, to get people interested. And the toys were okay, too. So I'm glad to see Ninja Turtles becoming more relevant, especially with the animated series on Nickelodeon, which is utterly fantastic. And the Playmates toys have been consistently getting better, even though they are kind of gimmicky at times, but still, they are kind of neat and cool. So a lot of the casting I've seen for this looks really neat. Now, I think they even brought back Judith Hogue, who I think played the original April O'Neil in the first movie. So that's kind of cool. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with this. I don't know. Like I said, the fact that they got Bebop, Rocksteady, and Karai in this, it would be awesome if somehow maybe they're setting up Krang, or maybe the Triceratons, or whatever. I just want to see dinosaurs with laser guns, ultimately. I think that'd be fucking awesome. Okay, so the next story I got this week, this I think is actually kind of neat. A couple of years ago, there was a trailer put out for a short film called Kung Fury. And it comes from director David Sandberg. And what he wanted to do was to create this love letter to 80s sci-fi. Like, I'm talking like the weird shit you'd find at the back of the video store in the big clamshell, big box VHS section. Stuff you'd see from like Full Moon Entertainment or a production company you've never heard of. It's the most ridiculous thing you can possibly think of. So I'm going to read you the summary for this movie, and then I'll give you kind of my thoughts on it. So, Miami Police Department detective and martial artist Kung Fury time travels from the 1980s to World War II to kill Adolf Hitler, a.k.a. the Kung Fuhrer, and avenge his friend's death at the hands of the Nazi leader. An error in the time machine sends him further back to the Viking Age. It's just as ridiculous and retarded as it sounds, but it holds your attention. It's really friggin' funny. And it's, like I said, it's literally like every 80s trope cranked up to 11. And like, even to the way that the guy talks, he's got that sort of macho early Sylvester Stallone's slash meets like the dude from the Best of the Best movies or whatever. Or maybe it was The Perfect Weapon. I don't know. Jeff Speakman, I think was the guy's name. Either way, he carries this ridiculous over-the-top martial arts confidence. And he's like, I'm a cop from the future and I'm going to kick your fucking ass. And he fights an arcade machine with sprouts guns. His partner is a Triceratops. Triceracop, which I think is probably one of the funniest, clever bits I've seen. Very much reminds me of Axe Fury with, like, Flute Cop, stuff like that. I don't know. In fact, I would love to see those two collaborate on something, Axe Cop and the Kung Fury guy. And like I said, he eventually goes back in time due to this hacker man who's, like, the world's greatest hacker, and it's fucking ridiculous. He surfs back on a keyboard powered by the power glove, and he somehow hacks time, and he ends up with Vikings, and there's laser raptors. Then Thor shows up, who shows off his pecs. It's really friggin' weird. And then, yeah, he goes to Nazi Germany and fights Hitler with mechs at one point. It's weird, man. It's really weird, but it's really good. Then it turns into, like, this mask sort of thing, and I'm not talking the Jim Carrey movie. I'm talking the 1980s Mobile Armored Strike Command thing, and it's weird. There's no other way that I can say it. It's weird, but it's some of the best 30 minutes you'll experience this year, and it's free. The film was crowdfunded at the beginning of last year, and it came out like 2 or 3 days ago, and it's free. Like, seriously, go check it out on YouTube, like I said, or right here. I'm actually going to link it right below, along with the music video with David Hasselhoff, who they got a hold of him to do the song True Survivor. And it's really catchy. I mean, it's that sort of 80s synth. Actually, our friends from Terrible Warriors, the Blast Processors, actually did a cover song for True Survivor. And I will say this about the Kung Fury film. It's fun. I love it. You'd have to sort of be in that mindset that you really love the 80s and you recognize all the ridiculous things that happened then. But regardless, you should be able to have fun while watching it. Now, I've said this on a few other different shows since this came out. I wouldn't mind seeing this turn into a web series that comes out maybe once every 6 months. And, you know, I'd throw 10, 15 bucks at that a month. I mean, obviously, the story's not done for Kung Fury here, and I'd like to see what else could be told in that world. Obviously, you don't want the joke to run too thin, but I think this guy's smart enough that he could make it work. I'd like to see him sort of evolve Kung Fury into the 90s, where it was all about terrorists and explosions and all sorts of other ridiculous. I mean, look at any Schwarzenegger movie in the 90s, and I'm looking specifically at True Lies for an example of a ridiculously over-the-top 90s movie, or maybe Michael Bay's The Rock, or Armageddon. But still, it was a lot of fun. I really recommend you check this out. I mean, come on. Kung Fu fighting Hitler. It doesn't get any more ridiculous than that. So, right now, we're going to take a small break, and we're going to talk to the guys over at Gamebox Monthly, and hopefully you guys will check out this service. So, guys, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Nerd News Network. As always, I like to talk to different people from the world of getting cool stuff via mail. As you guys know, I've been checking out a lot of these subscription services of late. I've talked to people from Comic Bento. I've talked from people from Meowbox. And you guys know I'm a huge gamer. Not just video games, but also stuff like board games. Huge fan of these things since I got introduced to games like, say, Last Night on Earth, Cards Against Humanity, that sort of thing. So I was checking out some of these directories that tell you what's out there in terms of these subscription services, and I found one that's right up my alley. I want to introduce Brian from Gamebox, and these guys are offering a service I've surprisingly seen nobody else do. So without any further ado, welcome Brian to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, Brian, what is Gamebox?
So, Gamebox, well, I think you described it pretty well. It's a subscription box, subscription service for tabletop games. So, right now, we focus on on your typical kind of board games and card games. Like, I would say, like, think of Settlers of Catan, like, that arena of things. The kind of stuff that you would pull out and play at a game night and have a great time with your friends with.
So, I guess my, like, next question is, how did you get the idea for this? Because, honestly, I'm surprised nobody has jumped on this beforehand, because it seems like such a no-brainer.
It is a really great idea, and actually, I wish I could take credit for it. The story actually goes, I was looking to start something that's, I could kind of, run myself and kind of, escape kind of a lousy day job that I had. And so I found a guy who ran, one of his own, like, in a different kind of area, but a subscription box, and then had also started building a fulfillment company that dealt with, just fulfilling for subscription box companies. And so I did a free consultation, and I had an entirely different idea. And I told him, that idea as part of the consultation, because it had like a specific shipping component to it. And it's like, oh yeah, there's, because it was like a cat toy kind of an idea. And I knew that there were other like pet related stuff out there. And he was like, yeah, it's, there's other boxes out there like that, but your specific version, your specific idea, your twist on it, wouldn't work from a shipping point of view. Like, it would cost too much shipping wise. I was like, I guess not. But in the course of that consultation, he was like, oh yeah, I actually had this idea for, a board game box. I just don't have the time to do it. So, if you want to take it and run with it, you're more than welcome to. And I basically thought about it and was like, yeah, that's actually a way better idea than what I had. And I love board games, and I would, that job would basically be playing board games and deciding whether or not they're good and sending them out. And like, that sounds awesome. So I just started, I did this is like on a Friday, and over the weekend I did some research. I did a Reddit post and for in the board game subreddit. And I said, if I did something like this, would people be interested in it? If you would be, give me your email. I just made a quick page for people to give me their email. And so a whole bunch of people did. And I was like, oh, okay, then that seems promising. So I just kind of started the ball rolling from there.
Well, that's really awesome, the fact that it started from more or less just a simple conversation. So, I guess, how far back does your love for board games go, and, like, what was your first?
I played everything, all the standard stuff that you played as a kid. In college, we would play Risk all the time. We loved playing Risk. Some of my fondest memories of college is just playing Risk all the time with my friends, and to the point where we still play it when we get together. A friend of mine, one of the people from that group, actually, over the last like few years, has been making a Star Trek version of Risk, because we're all huge Star Trek fans as well. And we love playing, specifically that kind of Risk style gameplay. So we still play that whenever we get together. And then more recently, like a lot of other people, it's been, just discovering all the other stuff that's out there that like you don't really, that you're not really aware of until you first know somebody who cracks open, Settlers of Catan. I feel like I played at some point when I was growing up, but cracking out King of Tokyo or Splendor or Dominion or Seven Wonders or any or the Battlestar Galactica game or the X-Wing miniature games or any of those, somewhere, I feel like everybody's story is basically like they have a friend who cracks that open one night and you play, you have this game night, and then you're hooked. And then you go, oh, wait, there's, dozens and hundreds of more of these. Like, there's just a whole field of these. And then you just start, you just go down this rabbit hole that I have yet to come out of. And I feel like a lot of other people are the same way.
So what are some of the games that have come out so far through Gamebox?
We've been going for about 8 or 9 months now, and have done probably about over a dozen, between a dozen and 15 games, different games total at this point. So when somebody signs up to our service, we ask them to share like what games they already have, so they make sure not to send them. So if we send, one game, if we pick one primary game per month, we'll still have some other games, just in case, a subscriber already has that, we can send them something else. So in terms of examples, like our first month was Castle Panic. It was Boss Monster. It was the month after that. We've done Gloom, and because Gloom is a smaller game, we sent, we automatically sent an expansion along with it to somebody. Or if somebody already had the base game, we sent them two different expansions. Let's see. Last month, we sent Stones of Fate, which is a brand new game that was just published. Like, literally, the publisher sent out the Kickstarter backers their copies, and then we sent the copies we had acquired to our subscribers, like, immediately afterwards. What else? So we kind of go back and forth between sending stuff that kind of has an established, has been around a bit and kind of has an established reputation, and also sending games that are, you know, brand new, that need, you know, could maybe use a little bit more of a traction to get out there in the world. And hopefully that, you know, more people haven't discovered yet.
What are some of the games you are planning to maybe take a look for future game boxes?
Well, we're constantly looking. We're always looking, and I'm actually working on creating a way basically for people to customize their subscription. So if people say, oh, I like these kind of games, like, I really only want to discover new releases that I might not find otherwise, or I only want to find games that, you know, have been out for a while but maybe didn't get as much publicity at the time, and so I may not know about those otherwise. And also, like, oh, I'm definitely want party games, or I definitely want two-player-only games, or definitely want this or that, or I definitely don't want any of those. So we're actually looking to, you know, expand in terms of the kind of portfolio that we have and we offer. So, I mean, in terms of, like, giving you a list, I wouldn't want to give you a specific list because, you know, part of it is
the surprise.
The surprise, yeah. And also because, you know, I'm just constantly, you know, looking, and I don't necessarily, you know yet.
All right, then.
But yeah, definitely, we're definitely going to be looking at increasing the variety and giving people a way to be more specific about what kind of games they specifically want.
All right, so I guess as my final question to you, Brian, how much does this service cost?
It costs $25 a month plus shipping, which is about $5.50. And if you prepay 3 or 6 months, you get a little bit off. Not much, but a little bit. And if you do, if you are an international subscriber, like if you're in Canada, there's a surcharge. And if you're anywhere else, basically in the world, there's another surcharge. But the base price itself is $25.
All right, then. So approximately when do the boxes go out per month?
What I typically say is in the second half of the month, so from the 15th, you know, as the general midway point on. And I'm actually really working on trying to bring that down, you know, for May, you know, for this past month. We started shipping in the first week or second week, I think. And then for June, I'm hoping to start shipping in the first week. And then eventually what I would like to do to get to the point is where we're constantly doing rolling shipments. So, you know, if you sign up, whenever you sign up, as long as for the cutoff for that month, you know, your game goes out just a few days earlier on, like, a rolling basis. So that's the goal. We're not quite there yet. So I'd say, like, the second to third week is a good estimation.
All right. So finally, what is the website where people have to go?
They have to go to GameBoxMonthly.com. And they want to follow us on Twitter, just go to twitter.com/GameBoxMonthly. Or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/GameBoxMonthly.
Awesome. Fantastic stuff. So hopefully, Brian, we'll get a chance to take a look at more of your games that you'll be offering up in the future. And hopefully we will be talking again.
Yeah, I'd love to.
All right, guys. Well, that was my interview with Brian. Now back to me on the Nerd News Network. Welcome back, guys. Hopefully you will check out, like I said, Brian's service. This guy's a total geek. I love it. And like I said, hopefully we'll get a chance to check in with some other cool games that these guys will be sending out to their subscribers over the next little bit. All right. So last week I talked about some really cool prosthetic limbs. And they found out they were a little bit expensive. So check this out. This Japanese company, Exi, has produced something called Hackberry. And what this is, it's a bionic limb whose blueprints and source code are freely available, uses a smartphone as a brain, and camera batteries to power itself. Now, to make this thing, it's a lot of 3D printed parts. And all things considered, it should take you around $300 to make this thing. But what this thing can do is it can pick up small objects, it can leaf through like magazines, it can even tie shoes. It's really friggin' cool, and I'm once again going to include a link to this. It looks like something out of friggin' Mass Effect or Ghost in the Shell. It looks ridiculously cool. And honestly, I think it looks better than the one that came out of last week's story. Legitimately, I wonder what the applications are for this. Like, and I'm thinking, obviously, civilian. I can think of all sorts of military applications for this thing. But it's really neat. Oh my god, I just realized this does look like the hand out of Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Huh, how about that? But still, it's really cool. The fact that it's free, that its blueprints and source code are freely available, and you can modify it and hack it to do whatever you want it to do. I'm expecting some really cool things out of it. So yeah, I mean, I love it when a community can get together and work on something like this, and this is going to change somebody's life. Absolutely, this is going to happen. So I actually may keep an eye on Reddit and see if anybody does anything with this, because I think that'd be really cool. Okay, so last story this week, and I love talking about this. This one comes from thetelegraph.co.uk. Headline is, "Killer robots will leave humans utterly defenseless, warns professor. Robots called Laws, or lethal autonomous weapon systems, will be able to kill without human intervention." So two programs commissioned by the U.S. military and the DARPA Initiative, which is the U.S. Defense Advanced Research and Projects Agency, are seeking to create drones which can track and kill targets even when out of contact with their handlers. So, writing in the journal Nature, Stuart Russell, he's the professor of computer science over at the University of California, Berkeley, said the research could breach the Geneva Convention and leave humanity in the hands of amoral machines. He goes on to say, "Autonomous weapon systems select and engage targets without human intervention. They become lethal when those targets include human. Existing AI and robotics components can provide physical platforms, perception, motor control, navigation, mapping, tactical decision-making, and long-term planning. They just need to be combined. In my view, the overriding concern should the probable endpoint of this technological trajectory. Despite the limits imposed by physics, one can expect platforms deployed in the millions, the agility and lethality of which will leave humans utterly defensive. This is not a desirable future." You know what? He is not wrong. He's not wrong. Another one that they're kind of working on, with this could lead to more killer robots, is something called FLA, which is Fast Lightweight Autonomy, which is designing a tiny rotorcraft, and this thing could get through, like, urban areas and inside buildings. Think of the drone from Splinter Cell. Splinter Cell Blacklist, or the drone from Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, that, not the UAV, but the scout drone, or whatever the hell it's called. Another one that they're working on is something called CODE, which is Collaborative Operations in Denied Environment. And they're looking at developing aerial vehicles, autonomous aerial vehicles, that can carry out all steps of a strike mission: find, fix, track, target, engage, assess, in situations which makes enemy signal jamming, makes communication with a human commander impossible. This is interesting because last year, Angela Kane, who was the UN's High Representative for Disarmament, said killer robots were just a small step away and called for a worldwide ban. But the Foreign Office has said the technology had potentially terrifying implications. However, Britain reserves the right to protect its troops. This is interesting because, once again, Professor Russell says, "Laws could violate fundamental principles of human dignity by allowing machines to choose whom to kill. For example, they might be tasked with eliminating anyone exhibiting threatening behavior." Example of this, RoboCop, the movie that came out last year, the remake, which was okay, features an ED-260 unit wasting a kid. at one point, if I remember correctly, because he exhibited threatening behavior. So, once again, Professor Russell says, debate should be organized at scientific meetings, arguments studied by ethics committees. Doing nothing is a vote in favor of continued development and deployment. It's weird. Now, obviously, I'm a huge fan of robotics, cybernetics, bionic limbs, as we've talked about for the last 2 weeks. Potentially really friggin' terrifying here. Now, I'm not saying we've reached the singularity where the machines are going to develop self-awareness. It's not going to be like the Quarians going to the war with the Geth, or it's going to be like Skynet deciding, you know what, fuck you, humanity. I don't see that necessarily happening, but you know what? The possibility is there. But just the fact that even machine error, I mean, what if, I don't know, it forgets to calculate pi or something, and it decides to launch, I don't know, a strike at a school or a hospital. It's not outside the realm of possibility. Plus, leaving these things vulnerable to enemy hackers, that's a possibility too. I mean, I know it sounds like something out of fucking War Games, but you really got to think about that. Like I said, I'm all for the future. I love technology, but I'd rather technology not have an anti-material rifle aimed at my head flying above the city. That's just me, though. Anyway, guys, I hope you guys have had a really good time listening to today's edition of Nerd News. Do vastly apologize for the fact I haven't gotten these out on the last two Fridays. But, like I said, yesterday I had a wicked cold, had no voice. And today I'm learning how to deal with asthma. This is my first summer with asthma. I'm actually using inhalers. I've had like 3 asthma attacks today, and that's kind of terrifying. So, hopefully I'll be better. I mean, obviously, don't worry. I've got my puffers, my kitties, and my wife to look after me. And, yeah. So, anyway, guys, there should be a new botched role coming out this week with Ben from Sirenscape. Very cool program. And we're also going to have the topic show. It should be out very late tomorrow, if not probably Monday at some point. And we got a prototype coming up on, I think we're talking educational games. With me and Jamie before we hit E3 later on this year. Well, we're not physically going, but we're going to make our predictions. So anyway, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live free or die hard, and I'll catch you guys again next week, right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
Oh, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat f***.
Okay, I'm good, Geico.
Holy shit! Oh my gosh! Freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@ThisWeekInGeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.